This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M-Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
It's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan, and we have a full studio here at M-Squared TechCast.
Yes, we do. It is episode number 9 of this fine little internet radio program. We're going to be talking today with a variety of people about Michigan's ongoing technological transformation into being the brain of the automotive industry instead of its bicep, among other things.
I don't know where you're going with that, you know.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Well, bice. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say we used to be the bicep, now we're the brain.
He speaks in tongues sometimes.
Yes.
You know,
so.
But anyway,
and not necessarily English.
Yes. So introduce your guest.
Okay. We have here today my boss. So be nice to him, please. He is Robert McGee. He's the executive director of the Engineering Society of Detroit. We had last week an unemployment report come out that had much stronger than expected job creation in it, and the national unemployment rate dipped a bit to 5%. Now, of course, there's always argument about what the real unemployment rate is.
Yeah, that's the big debate, is how many people have dropped out of the job market. We're not really sure.
So. Right. So, but that is getting pretty close to what economists define as full employment. Somewhere in the mid-fours is considered to be just the normal background level of people changing jobs. But one of the areas that there is really a serious shortage in this country is in engineering and technology jobs. And the Engineering Society of Detroit is having a job fair next week. And Robert, tell us, if you would, please. First of all, welcome. Good to have you here.
Yeah, we've been trying to get you on the show for a while, so we're real happy you're here. So.
Well, you know, when you're in demand, it's tough. But I'm delighted to be here, and thank you guys for the invite.
Well, tell us a little bit about the ESD job fair. I know ESD's been doing these fairs for a long time. So when and where and what's the purpose?
Yes, we have two job fairs a year. We have one in the fall, and we have one in the spring. Our fall job fair is this next Monday, exactly 1 week from today. A little bit before this time is from 2 until 7 p.m., and it says at Suburban Collections Place, which is in Novi, which is not that far from here. And it's going to be really exciting, Matt, because we have 50 Michigan exhibitors that will be there to fill engineering jobs and technical computer jobs. And also there will be some of them looking for skilled trade professionals as well. And the really neat thing about this is they're not looking for anyone except for those particular type jobs. So we kind of cut through the clutter and get to the heart of what they're looking for in this particular job fair. You know, just to mention a few of the names that will be there, we have some really heavy hitters. We have MDOT, which is Michigan Department of Transportation. We have DTE Energy. We have Fiat Chrysler. We have Sony Electronics. We have Magna Powertrain. We have Link Engineering. We have Denso International America, just to mention a few.
So what kind of positions are these folks looking to fill?
All disciplines of engineering, from chemical engineering to civil engineering to computer design engineering to electrical engineering to mechanical engineering to manufacturing engineering, and the list goes on and on and on. They're also looking for cybersecurity, software engineering, you know, technology type jobs, finance, human resources, sales and marketing, and the skilled trades.
So your chances at this thing are pretty good, right? There are literally thousands of jobs that are being offered?
Absolutely. There are over 2,000 jobs that are posted right now by these 50 companies that they're looking to fill right now, and also they hire on the spot. Mm. This is one of our member benefit type job fairs. Our members get to come to this for free. If you're a non-member, you pay a modest fee of $20 because our goal is to get serious candidates through the door for this particular job fair.
Now, I imagine that the jobs in question, they probably pay pretty well, right?
The average salary for an engineering job starts at about $64,000.
Well, that's pretty good.
And tell me a little bit about Michigan as an engineering mecca. I mean, this really is the place, right?
We are the hub of all things engineering, and I don't believe enough people really know that. We employ more engineers in Michigan per capita than any other state in the United States. We employ 62,000 engineers, and we only have 10 million people. California employs 64,000 engineers, but they have 40 million people. So if you really want to be in the mecca and the hub of all things engineering, Michigan is truly the place. And our focus at ESD is to maintain for the future Michigan as the hub of all things engineering.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about that. Now, one of I know your major initiatives that I've been working on at ESD along with everyone else on the staff is the youth programs that we have. And from here, we are leaving to go do something connected with those youth programs. Tell me a little bit about the new student chapters of ESD.
You know, when I first came into this executive role, the link that I believe was missing, because we have a middle school program with Future City. We have a high school program with Engineering Smart. But we had no link to who I believe to be the most important group, which is our college students. They've already declared that they want to be an engineer. And, of course, we need to be that gap closure, that bridge to move them from their educational world to the practical world of doing real engineering work. So we're launching 25 student chapters of ESD throughout the state. Today we are going to launch the chapter at Michigan State today at 7 o'clock p.m.
And you've already got Lawrence Tech, Michigan Tech, and who else?
We have Lawrence Tech already launched. We have MTU already launched. We have U of D Mercy already launched. We have launched Eastern. We have calendar days for Wayne State, Lake Superior. We have calendar dates for U of M, and we have calendar dates for
Ferris State.
Ferris State.
Wow. And then from there, are you hoping to land all them this year? Or?
Absolutely. Between now and the end of December.
Wow. That's pretty aggressive.
Yep. And, I mean, there are, more than 20 accredited engineering programs in Michigan, right? So eventually we'd like to be at all of them.
Absolutely. Some of the smaller schools, we will also go there. They've approached us about having a student chapter. They've heard about it. They got very excited about it. I attended the Dean's Conference of all the Deans of Engineering in Michigan, and small schools like Calvin College are very interested, even though they have smaller programs. The Lake Superiors, Grand Valley State, Saginaw Valley is interested. Macomb Community College is interested. One of the schools that we failed to mention is Oakland University is coming aboard also. They already have a calendar date.
Oh, there. Well, great.
And that's a bigger engineering program than people think at Oakland, right? I mean, it's
absolutely
pretty substantial.
Their enrollment has grown from roughly around 600 or 700 students. Now they're over 3,000.
Engineering
students.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah, and Michigan State is huge in engineering too, where we're going this afternoon. I know they've doubled in size.
10,000 or something?
It's over 5,000
now. It's over 5,000
now.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's doubled in size since 2010. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago. So, you know, that's the thing about the engineering shortage is that colleges are responding, but there is a lag time, right? So, you know, what's ESD going to do for these colleges?
Matt, as I talked about, you know, we're going to be that gap and that bridge between the things that they learn on the academia side and the classroom and how that really plays out in the workplace. We're going to expose them through network and through mentoring to the real world of their various disciplines. If you're a mechanical engineer, we're going to show you that you can be a mechanical engineer in other places other than the auto industry. Basically, small companies that create anything that moves hire mechanical engineers. So we're going to expose them to that. Plus, we're going to really show them what does it mean to work in a culture outside of the classroom, because so many of these kids come out of college, they've had one intern, but they've never really done any real engineering work. Huh. So our goal is to take the practical learnings in the classroom and apply that to practical application in the workplace.
Now, I know one of the things that people are telling me that Michigan really wants to capitalize on is wireless mobility and the autonomous vehicles. That's a really hot area right now, right?
Definitely innovation at its finest. You know, we're already seeing that in Michigan. There's a little bit of a concern around the autonomous automobile. You know, who's responsible if they have a crash?
Right.
Well, we don't care about that. We just want to go ahead and hit the streets so I ain't got to drive. We'll deal with that problem when we get to it. But, you know, one of the things that I'm excited about is you're seeing engineering at a very early age and how creative it is in Michigan in all of the disciplines. And there's no lack of exposure in the state to whatever you want to see around engineering and new and creative things. I was talking to a small business owner in downtown Detroit. They're getting ready to change the whole infrastructure to where it's a hot base through a company called Rocket Fiber. You know, they're changing all the networking down there, so you'll be hot. So that will attract a whole different audience as who will live in downtown Detroit now, because it's going to go to residents and business structure.
One of our partners, Amanda Luan, is actually dating the president of Rocket Fiber, so we get inside information.
He's a super guy. Mark Hudson is a super guy.
I did not know that.
Oh, well, yeah, they're an item. I think we just outed him, right?
Uh-oh, okay.
I probably shouldn't say that.
A tech power couple, you know?
Yes, I mean,
if ever there was one.
Yeah, Amanda also runs Bamboo Detroit and Michipreneur.com. For a 25-year-old woman, she's really amazing. So
Yeah, Bamboo is one of these co-working spaces where you can rent for virtually nothing a spot to have your business, a spot to have your startup. And she's got, 300 companies coming in and out of there, something like that?
Now they're expanding. What they discovered was everybody likes the co-working, but they want their own space, right? So now that's what they're going for. Is I'm not sure if he's going to add additional floors or how they're going to do that, but you'll be able to rent like a cubicle that you own versus just going in and sitting down with your computer.
Yeah, Marcus told me all about what she do as an entrepreneur. It's a small world. I didn't realize that you guys knew her.
Oh, yeah. She's one of our partners.
She's been one of our guests as well on an earlier version of the podcast. So if people want more information about this job fair, where do they go? What do they do?
So our website at esd.org, and just look at for the job fair link. It's already there.
Okay. And once again, that is next Monday, November 16th from 2 to 7 p.m. at the Suburban Collection Showplace on Grand River Avenue in Novi.
And one way or another, we'll do something from there. We're trying to get a remote set up. If we, in lieu of that, then Matt will just get on the phone and grab some people and we'll do the show, and I'll throw him softballs here from the studio, and he can hit them out of the park. So.
Absolutely. Well, I just like to talk to some of the employers that are there and figure out what kind of people that they need, and maybe help people, determine a future career path that way. I talk to so many people who say if I had it to do all over again, well, you still can. That's the thing. So
it's never too old to change, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Good. So how big is ESD now? How many members do you have?
Over 3,000 professional members and 140 corporate members and 104 affiliate societies.
Wow, that's amazing.
The affiliate societies are groups like SAE and IEEE that
heard of them, yeah.
Yeah.
little groups.
Yeah, they meet. We convene them to meet once a month, and they talk about common problems. So that's an interesting benefit of ESD. I call us the Switzerland of engineering. Oh. It's where engineers of all types can get together and talk about things.
The big love fest, right?
Well, not always, but but it is interesting when they get together, and you will find engineers that don't talk to people outside of their own narrow technical discipline.
Oh, that I believe.
And they really need to, because there's more and more. I mean, you look at a car these days, it's not just mechanical engineering anymore. It's electrical, it's software, it's computer, it's
Bill Gates 10 years ago called the car just nothing but a computer with four wheels. And back then, it wasn't really true, but boy, it sure is now.
And we all laughed at him back then, said, yeah, right.
Well,
sure.
We laugh at him anyway. But,
well, but most of that's out of jealousy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Robert, thanks so much for being here. I do appreciate it. And once again, it's the ESD Technology and Engineering Job Fair, Monday, November 16th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi from 2 to 7 p.m. Robert, thanks a lot.
$20 to get in if you're not a member. We've got to have that, right?
So. Yes. Yep. Thank you, Mike and Mark, for allowing me to be here.
All right. Thank you. Well, we're back. This is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Roush with his mic down.
His mic is up, and hopefully we have John Bebo calling in. We're just checking. Is that John? Is he there? Are you there, John? John?
Yes.
Ah, you made it.
All right. It's John Bebo from the Center for Michigan.
He was out fishing, but he agreed to come in and help us on the show today. So.
Okay. Oh, if only I was fishing. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Right. Well, that's using the term loosely, but hi. So tell us a little bit about Center for Michigan people. First of all, for people who don't know what it is, let's start with that.
Well, Center for Michigan is nearing its 10th birthday. We're a think and do tank with offices in Detroit, Lansing, and Ann Arbor, and we do three things. We engage the public in about 150 community meetings every year to talk about the state's future and what they want to see out of policymakers. And we talk to thousands of people a year, and we issue what we call citizens' agenda reports about what the public wants. We also have Bridge Magazine, which I think is what you wanted to talk about today. And Bridge is a nonprofit news provider. It's a growing industry nationwide, and we're Michigan's largest version of that industry. What we seek to do is provide in-depth reporting with veteran professional journalists to help accentuate what traditional journalism is doing today, which is much more focused on the who, what, where, and when than on the why and the how of current events in the news. And that's where we try to focus. We have a full-time staff of half a dozen journalists who have about 200 years of combined experience covering the people, politics, and policies of Michigan. And we publish four times a week on our website, bridgemi.com. Bridge is 4 years old. And is attracting about 60,000 readers per month. And we have content partnerships. Your listeners have probably read Bridge, even if they haven't visited Bridge's website. We have content partnerships with Crane's Detroit Business and MLive.com, where readers are reading our content almost every day. And then occasionally we go to Lansing and we work on policy issues such as early childhood, where through our public engagement work, We understand what the public wants, and through our journalism, we understand how to get it done. And then we go to Lansing and say, hey, folks, in power, have you thought about doing these things which the public wants and the data says are doable? So that's the Center for Michigan.
So what do you think are some of the top stories or best stories that you guys done with the Bridge magazine over the last 4 years? What would you point to?
I would point to, there's a long list of them. I don't want to worry your listeners.
That's all right. We've got 10 minutes, so.
We've got time for a long list.
Going back to early childhood, we developed the first ever census in Michigan of the kids who were eligible for the state preschool program who were not enrolled. And we looked at best practices around the country, and Governor Snyder actually took that research and used it for his expansion of the state preschool program, which is now doubling the size of preschool in Michigan. It's been about a $350 million investment by the state in the past several years, and it really started with a lot of reporting at Bridge. We've done a lot of work around education. Our Academic State Champs project every year looks at schools that are exceeding expectations. A lot of the debate about education is what's going wrong. That report looks at what's going right in schools that are really based on their demographics and their student populations are doing better than they would be expected to do. We did a big series this fall on college drinking, which looked at the, I know you guys went to college like I did a long time ago, but drinking has changed as our Bridge reporters found. It's pretty intense these days. I'm just proud that we can put out editions several times a week that go a little bit deeper than our overworked daily journalists who are tweeting and Facebooking and writing five stories a day the way Matt Roush used to a million years ago at the Wheel and Our Enterprise. I'm just proud that we're able to do this work and make it grow. is what we're doing.
Probably shot your own pictures too, right, Matt?
Yeah, I even did sports.
Oh,
jeez.
Got it all going there.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Little Country Weekly, you do everything. You sweep up at the end of the day.
So yeah, and then he did it at Kalamazoo Gazette. Then he did it at Crane. He's
all you're doing is telling people how old I am, man. Come on now.
He started, though. He's only 39. He started when he was like 16.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I appreciate that. So yeah, tell me a little bit about you've been able to build a really good brand, I think, in online journalism, and a lot of that, unfortunately, is on the back of, you know, what's the reality of what's happened to print journalism, right? I mean, there's a lot of really good people out there.
Print journalism, what's that, right?
Yeah.
Well, for us, it is a buyer's market. And, you know, I spend a lot of my time now. I've made the transition from reporter myself. A decade ago, I was in my final days at the Chicago Tribune, and I didn't feel like I could provide a prosperous future for my family anymore in the newspaper business. And you guys, both of you, I think maybe came to the same conclusion, and many others have too. It's a tough, tough business. What we've done is build a different model, and we've done it through philanthropy. Our founder, Phil Power, also owned newspapers and sold them, and as he likes to say, he never intended to go to Florida and let the sand slip through his toes every day. He's investing back into what we're doing, and it's my job to go out and find co-investment for that. And we've been able to build about 36 relationships with corporate and foundation investors who are helping support Bridge, and increasingly readers themselves are supporting Bridge. We run a couple of fundraising drives every year, much like public radio does, and increasingly listeners are, and the readers, in our case, are paying for the content that we're providing every week. And that's part of having a sustainable future. We plan to be around for a long time. There's a lot of flash-in-the-pan stuff on the internet, as you guys have covered since the mid-1990s. But we are all rooted in this state. We plan to be here a long time. This is the last full-time job I ever intend to have, and I'm a long way from retirement.
Well, you keep telling me you'd rather be fishing than anything else. So, I mean, you know, you're confusing me here. I'm just kidding.
Well, he's going to be a fishing. he's going to be a fishing journalist. That's
fishing journalist.
Be.
I like that. Hey, I was going to ask. I know you guys. Go ahead.
Fishing is my passion, but I talk a better game than I actually deliver. I don't think I've been fishing for real.
Okay.
About 4 months. So, I'm fishing for stories. How's that?
Very good. Good segue. So 4 years now with Bridge. What's next? What would you like to do that you haven't done, or what's the plan, or what?
As we get together as a team and brainstorm what to cover next, it is like to borrow a scene out of Matt Rausch's early career in the Leelanau Peninsula. It is like a fat apple orchard at harvest time. There are so many stories that are low-hanging fruit. We'll never get to them all. And there are increasingly coverage beats that aren't being covered in as much depth as they used to. That's why we're working with Crane.
I was going to say technology. Hello, you know.
Look what you guys have done. You've built a business out of an area that's not covered in the mainstream media anymore. Well, that's why we're working with Cranes to cover the intersection of politics and policy and business. There are other growth areas that I think we have in the future. No one is covering the pure Michigan economy / conservation / environment full time anymore in mainstream media. Same could be true for healthcare, both from the consumer side and from the business side and from the innovation and medical research side. Nobody's covering that in Michigan. I'd like to see us be able to grow enough investment to eventually cover those beats in more depth, too.
Well, that's one of the things.
I wake up every morning thinking, "Boy, we have a lot to do."
Well, that's one of the things. I remember having coffee with David Zeman once, and we said sort of in a joking way that the way to cover the news these days is as a nonprofit, because there's no margin in it anymore. And I don't know if you saw the Columbia Journalism Review email today, but they had a story about how a reporter who was working under a Ford Foundation grant for the ACLU, of all things, is the guy who broke the Flint water story. You know,
Well, it's a very innovative, you know, despite the darkness in journalism, and there's plenty of darkness, it's a very innovative time. That the Flint water story, as you said, is a perfect example, Matt. And we see that all the time. You know, nobody's Nobody's getting wealthy working at the Center for Michigan. But we are paying people a living wage to do something that they're very good at. And our team has a ton of experience. And there's just so much more to do. And I personally believe that at least for our team, nonprofit is the way to go. Because traditional revenue models in the news are broken. I don't see them coming back. There's only so many bell tires. They still want to advertise in print anymore. But there are other models that you can cobble together, and that's exactly what we're trying to do.
That's kind of what we're doing, is cobbling together this content partners. We've got 9 content partners now, and we do internet radio and regular radio and newsletters and whatever pays the bills, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. If you can get past the morning for the days gone by, it's an exciting time to be in.
Well, there's still great stories to be told and still people who tell them well, and it's still getting out there. That's what, I occasionally give talks to kids about journalism as a career. Huh. And I say that if you had your heart set on working for a big city newspaper, I'm so sorry. And they look at me like, what's that?
what's a newspaper?
But on the other hand, if you want to get noticed, if you're good, there's never been a better time, because there's over 1 billion people on this thing called the internet. And if you're good, they'll find you. It's just breaking through the clutter that's the most important thing.
Let's give a shameless plug for IT and the D. They get 300,000 listens every week on that show. That's our benefactor here at Podcast Detroit. So they're doing an amazing job.
Yeah, it's an amazing time. When Forbes just had a story about YouTube millionaires, people starting their own TV shows and making millions of dollars through advertising. Do it is creative destruction at its finest. It's fantastic. For us, we're trying to be the vegetables in the news business in a time when there's a lot of junk food in the news. And not everybody wants to eat their vegetables. Bridge never intends to be everything to all people. We're trying to provide thinking news for thinking people. And we think there's a lot of we think that segment, our segment, is big and prosperous. And we intend to provide them with a lot more.
Well, thank you for not being clickbait. That's very refreshing.
Well, we do photo galleries every once in a while. You got to pump those pages.
Well, yeah, but that's the tourism industry. That's part of Michigan. Isn't it pretty here? And I think that's legit. There's always been a place for that in journalism. So travel journalism is what everyone aspires to. And another former colleague of mine from Traverse City, Kim Schneider, has somehow made herself a business in that. Boy, am I ever envious of her? I tell you, she's a freelance travel writer. Talk about a great gig.
Wow, huh? We only got about a minute left, John. So why don't you give the information again? If people want to read Bridge Magazine, they want to learn more about the Center for Michigan, how do they do that?
Read bridgemi.com. Right at the top of the page, you can sign up to receive Bridge for free 4 days a week. You'll also see our content on MLive and on Cranes, and you'll hear our reporters on public radio around the state quite regularly. We'd love to have you check it out. We really would love to hear from you. Just send us an email at info@thecenterformichigan.net with any story ideas you have or any questions you want answered. We stay on top of those. We're here for Michigan.
And if you want to be impressed, folks, just take a look at the Bridge Magazine's the team page with the staff and the board of advisors. It is an all-star listing of journalism and public relations in Michigan. They've got some really terrific people connected with us.
And every once in a while, the guy who shuffles the paper shows up for a radio.
Yeah, there you go, John. So we're glad you made it this week.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for your patience, man. Sorry for being a knucklehead last Monday.
No problem. So thanks a lot. We'll make sure you get a copy of this to share with your audience, too. So thanks very much.
You do, and thanks for all you guys do.
We try. Right, Matt?
Absolutely.
This is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M Squared TechCast.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And this is the M Squared TechCast, and we are joined today by Lauren Bigelow, the Executive Director of Accelerate Michigan. That's a business competition for startups and young companies and business ideas here in Michigan. Lauren, tell us a little bit, if you would please, about Accelerate. Well, first of all, welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right. And tell us a little
glad
bit.
To hear.
Tell us a little bit about Accelerate Michigan.
Accelerate Michigan is in its sixth year. We are a later stage business competition, and in that we mean that the company has got a product or service that is past prototype, so that the $500,000 first prize can take them from that concept that they've got in prototype into full production. So that's what we're really excited about.
And it's a $1 million competition, if I recall, right?
Yeah, it's a $500,000 first prize. All of our sectors get a $25,000 first prize. We've got a $10,000 People's Choice Award. And then we've got a number of in-kind awards in terms of legal services. This year, Center for Creative Studies gave a $25,000 design sponsorship.
Ooh.
Delta provided tickets for the winners. So there's a lot of in-kind that goes along with winning the prize as well.
Well, I have to tell you, when I saw who won this year, I had to read it a couple of times. It kind of surprised me, a company that uses chickpeas to make gluten-free pasta.
Yeah, we got a little bit of pushback because people are like, well, you know, it's not technology. It's, you know, it's not some buzzy, you know, cancer-curing technology, but we're an innovation competition.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, it's food science. It's a very innovative look at our food science. And so I'm really proud of Bonza. They did a great presentation. Their former venture fellows, they were in the Venture for America program, came to Detroit, decided to set up shop after they got done with their two-year work with VFA. And, you know, they're employing a number of people in Detroit and up north where they've got their facility.
Yeah, I just I'd heard them before. It's like there's a circuit in Michigan where you hear a lot of pitches from different companies. And I know I can't remember exactly where it was, but I have heard their pitch before, and I found it kind of intriguing maybe a year or two ago. So I know they've been around for a while.
Well,
yep. And, you know, we do. We have the companies who are somewhere between 3 to 5 years typically. So they have a couple of people who are running it. They've raised a little bit of seed capital, or they have an SBIR or SGT or some type of non-dilutive capital that have gotten them that far. And they're really strong companies. So every year, the pool of talent gets better and better. And so it's wonderful to be able to watch that.
Now, the second place winner was one of those high-techy companies, and I'm not sure if I can pronounce the name. Pronounce it for me.
Genomenon.
Thank you. Life sciences company focused on personalized medicine with simplified genome interpretation software. Well, everyone's scratching their head on that. So I think I know what that means, but what exactly is that product, just for the layman out there?
You know, they're a software tool that helps people really prioritize the data points. So, you know, there's a lot that comes through in the DNA scans and what people are trying to look at in terms of gene pool. And so they're trying to figure out, like, what's the most important piece in that decision-making, looking at this huge spread of data that's going to come through. So it's just trying to separate the wheat from the chaff in terms of data for your body.
Is it like a big data crunching kind of thing? Is that what it really is?
Yeah, it's one of those big data plays.
Okay, cool. Now, you also have a student segment. I'm looking here, and you've got $15,000 in prizes. Now, how was that divvied out, and how many ventures were there?
Yeah, we had 30 students that were on site that had been called down from a larger pool. And our finalists were from U of M, Oakland Community College, Michigan State, Northwood, Schoolcraft. And they did really well, but our top winners were CART, won a $5,000 prize, CARE PRN won a $3,000 prize, an idea called ProUp won a $2,000 prize, and The Broke App won a $500 prize.
So,
we did have some fun things in the competition. We had two Upper Peninsula companies got into the finals, and both of them won awards. So we had QTech, which was our life science prize, and Novacus, which actually won our People's Choice at the event on Thursday night.
So were those companies both based on technology from Michigan Technological University up there then, or what was where did they grow out of?
I know QTech is out of Michigan Tech. I'm not actually positive with Novacus, but I do know that they're working with the Michigan Tech Smart Zone and working very intensively with the tech team for SBDDC.
And they won the $10,000 People Choice Award. That's where folks in the audience vote on that. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We also were really thrilled that we had three women founders who presented in the finals, and all three of them won their sectors. So Akerbal Technologies won the Advanced Material Prize. Again, QTech won the Life Science Prize. And Work at Health won the IT Prize. So we're seeing a little bit more push on the female entrepreneur side in Michigan, which is great from my vantage point to see.
Now, over the 6 years, according to your press release, the companies that have won or I guess won prizes in Accelerate Michigan have gone on to raise another $550 million and created about 1,000 jobs. Is that right?
Yeah, we've actually taken it from the semifinalists. So each year we have 50 to 55 semifinal companies. So we've been tracking them each year, doing survey and asking them, what have you raised in terms of private dollars, public dollars? And so we track it company by company in terms of the jobs that they've created, the additional patents that they've added to their technology. And we're really looking at what all is being put back into the Michigan economy. So we're really looking at the impact that these companies are having as our ecosystem of entrepreneurship just gets more dense and powerful. And these companies are really, they're becoming very polished and their technology is really getting to be world class.
So who puts up the money for this event?
We have been sponsored from day one by the New Economy Initiative, and it's a consortium called BANSEM, which is the Business Accelerators of Southeastern Michigan, and that's Ann Arbor Spark, Automation Alley, Tech Town, and Macomo U Incubator. For the last 4 years, we've had support from the MEDC, which has been invaluable. And then we've always, since 2011, been supported by Quicken, Opportunity Detroit, Rock Ventures, whatever you want to call them. But we've also got a number of corporate supporters that have been in there. Next Energy has been huge. Automation Alley came in and sponsored a prize. DTE has been a very consistent funder. This year we brought in Shell and Meijer as new sponsors, so we were excited to have them at the table. So it's been a very interesting mix of foundation support through the New Economy Initiative, economic development through MEDC, different corporations who sit around the table, and then the incubators and accelerators who are a huge partner network. I mean, we have almost, I think it was 345 volunteers between the investors who show up, the people who do the first round screening, and the volunteers that we have on site. It's a huge community effort to get this off the ground and completed every year.
So what's up for next year, for year seven? What, any changes, additions, expansions?
I imagine you're probably still trying to catch your breath at this point, but
I was going to say, I'm just recovering. We just, you know, I was just happy to get to Friday morning and you know, give a prize to a great company. You know, we're wrapping up the paperwork and getting everybody paid, you know, over the next few weeks. But, you know, we were able to pull in some of the other fun pieces in Detroit this year. We took the entire investor, speaker, and sponsor crew over to Foaling on Wednesday night and did a bunch of football bowling over in Hamtramck. That was fun. Just we want to figure out other ways to integrate the renaissance that's happening in Detroit with the entrepreneur ecosystem from across the state and how to engage Midwest and other national investors to come see our great companies and experience what's happening in Detroit. That's really our goal. And so the more we can do that next year, I think the more successful we'll be.
So when you talk about who judges these things, do you have more judges than you know what to do with, or are you looking for judges every year? What's the situation there?
You know, in the first round, I'm always looking for more judges because with the first stage, the feedback is the most critical piece. And so we try to put as many as six judges on each company so that they, if they get moved on to the next round, then they've got some feedback that they can help with their business plan, you know, to smooth it out and take out any of the wrinkles. With the folks who don't get in, they get referred to their local Smart Zone incubator accelerator, and those comments help the person who is working with them, either at Tech Town or Grand Rapids Current, to get context for the feedback. And so the more people we have in that stage, I'm thrilled to have on.
All right.
We actually were oversubscribed on site for venture capital judges, which is a great problem to have.
Hmm. Yeah, that's not a problem Michigan used to have very often. So if anyone wants to be a judge, how do they get a hold of the competition to put their hand up?
It's info@acceleratemichigan.com.
Okay.
I'm sorry, acceleratemichigan.org.
And looking at next year, I know it's way too early, but I mean, typically what time of year does one apply to get into this contest?
We're going to open the applications in early May.
In early May.
Well, I got
to have the debt. We'll have the deadline in late July.
Okay. Well, I just have to tell you, I thought the winner this year was a really cool idea, but then I grew up in a small town in West Michigan that I describe as 7,000 people surrounded by cornfields, actually 7,000 Germans surrounded by cornfields.
And he's a farmer, chickpea farmer. Anyway,
yes, many of them are Amish in my neck of the woods. And I mean, I went to county fair. I went to school with kids who, you know, raised heifers and, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, the food industry is important. It's the second or third largest industry in Michigan, depending on what year it is. So,
Yeah, and we're the most diverse agricultural state in the country. And so I think that innovation around food, really that messaging dovetails in with what's happening at Michigan State around their ag bio and what we're trying to move forward in terms of diversifying our economy. So I'm all for it. I'm excited that they won.
All right. Now, next year, have somebody work on a decent fake meat product, would you please, so I can finally give up meat. So. I keep saying I'll give it up when there's a decent fake one. So
tofu or something, right?
Yeah, beyond tofu.
Beyond tofu. I love being curd, right? Yeah. So. All right, cool. Well, we're out of time in this segment. Lauren, why don't you give everybody the website address for the Accelerate Michigan and how they can reach you if they have questions or want to offer their services.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mike. It's acceleratemichigan.org, and any contact goes through info@. So happy to, and we'll monitor it weekly until the next competition happens.
All right. Thanks very much, Lauren Bigelow, Executive Director of the Accelerate Michigan Innovation Competition. And this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And it's the M Squared TechCast. We'll be right back.
It's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and this is the M Squared TechCast.
And we have with us a very patient who's been waiting through this whole show so he can tell you about it. Keith Zendler, who I've known for a long time. He's the founder, CEO, chief bottle washer for People Movers, right?
Good to be here. Thank you.
All right. Now, a lot of folks out there, although I have to disclaimer, I've been working with People Mover for years. They're also one of my content partners. So I know them very well, so I want to throw that in there. But I'll let him, he's the expert here, explain exactly what you guys do.
Well, basically, we're an online network for leaders and organizations to share information and work together. You had a great show here, and you've got all these different leaders. You know, I'm listening to, Robert with the Engineering Society of Detroit, and then you had John from Center for Michigan, and then Lauren was just on with Accelerate. You got all these great leaders and organizations with things that they're doing, and what we're doing is providing a way for them to share information directly back and forth to each other. So it's an online network. Kind of like Facebook, but for organizations is how people tend to describe it.
I think you call it the Global Community Bulletin Board, right?
Yeah. We did a total redesign of the site this last year, and we're very excited. We just turned it on, but we used a lot of the Pinterest kind of models, for sharing information because we felt that the concept of a community bulletin board was really what we were all about. And so,
I must admit, I was using it before. I'll be gentle here. It was a little on the clunky side. You had to be kind of a techie to figure out how to post stuff. But I used it this morning to post a couple stories, and damn, it was much simpler. So
thank you.
So how do you differ then from why should I use this as opposed to one of the mega sites to share information on? You know, we all know what they are.
The
giant social media sites.
Exactly, and this is really a more clear channel. You know, this is more than everybody on one channel. I think if you looked at television back in the early days, there were just a few stations. Now, what do we have? Thousands of stations on cable, and of course, now with internet, it's even more specialized. But this is a network for leaders and organizations who are getting things done. People that are doing things, that have initiatives, that have organizations, that really want a clear space. They don't want the distraction that can come with some of the other sites that are not really focused on their missions.
So you won't find too many cat videos there is what you're telling me, right?
Yeah. Boy, it gets discouraging sometimes when you see how well the cat videos do. I put one post of my cat up on Facebook and it gets more traffic than some of the real save the world meaty things I've got to share. But
Well, that's what John Bebo was talking about eating your vegetables as opposed to the candy. So
This is definitely a vegetable site, but it is more user friendly and it's more fun now. It's easier for people to use. And so you're seeing
more visual, easy to use. The other thing is the big announcement there. Last month you were in India, and you launched I didn't launch it, but you brought India. That's where I got confused on the story. Forgive me, folks. But so he brought in the Indian connection, shall we say?
Yeah. For the last 3 years, I've been spending actually most of my time pretty much back and forth between Detroit and Pune, India. I didn't know what Pune was before 3 years ago, but I ended up going there and find out that it's almost like the sister city for Detroit. It's one of the big automotive centers in India.
It's a manufacturing center. That's as much as I know about it.
And actually so many of the companies here in Michigan have operations in Pune. It's, I believe, the seventh largest metropolitan area in India.
It's about 4 million people. I looked it up on Wikipedia.
And whereabouts in India is it? I know there's vastly different regions in that country.
So it's about a three-hour drive from Mumbai.
Okay.
So Mumbai's on the west coast of India, and if you drive in
used to be Bombay, right?
Yes, used to be, Bombay.
Okay. The English connection. So.
Yeah, but it's inland then, away from the coast.
Yep. Okay. You go cross over the Ghats or their mountain range there, and then you get into this what they used to call a hill station because it's higher up. Reminds me a lot of Phoenix as far as the temperature and all that. But it's a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a huge university base. It was called the Oxford of the East for India. And they have a lot of similarities between Michigan, believe it or not. The state of Maharashtra there has a lot of synergies that we've seen between Michigan when it comes to life sciences, when it comes to university, of course, the automotive base. And
IT, you were saying it's a big IT research center.
IT, right. And a lot of great engineers coming out of there too. So,
okay, so how were you introduced to that area? What took it upon you to head over there?
You know, when I was...
I know the real story, so go ahead, tell them your story.
There was a woman involved.
Always but, is, you know.
I found myself in, you know, visiting her family, and as I was at an event, I ended up being introduced to some community leaders, some people that were really engaged in beautification programs in India. They have a big challenge when it comes to waste management there. And so I was introduced to the one of the leading members of parliament who was working on a big initiative to clean up the city. That led to me getting introduced to ambassadors, you know, council generals, and now then the former president of India, and then the mayor. It goes on and on. But we've really built some incredible relationships who are very, very excited about the ability to connect to Detroit and the companies and the organizations and the universities that are here in this area.
So, I mean, it's really for people in Detroit, if they want to reach, the, like you say, the sister city over in India, this is a really convenient way to do it.
Absolutely. That the idea behind this network is not only to give leaders that are here in their local communities a way to connect with each other, but to also connect to international resources or resources around the country that you might not normally know how to get to. You know, in People Movers, what we've done is actually set up every city on the planet so that they have their own bulletin boards. You can see what's happening. So as the network grows, you know, we expect this to be a really powerful way for one city to talk to another city and build the relationships very, very quickly.
Sort of like the Craigslist of bulletin boards.
Yeah, you know, we hope it's the go-to place for any leader or organization. And we think that as India really runs with this, we're expecting to be launching across the entire city of Pune over the next month. We've been working with the city, the mayor, essentially the mayor. They call me municipal commissioner. But that will be a pretty big deal. And right now in India, you have 100 cities that are all jockeying to be finalists as smart cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we're working on rebuilding. You know, right. they're trying to go right to the end goal of being smart cities. And so they're very, very hungry for new ideas. The kinds of things that we're developing here, a lot of the solutions that we've developed here in the United States, it's all brand new over there. And they're very, very hungry. So there's tremendous opportunity that we see on many fronts for American companies to and organizations to connect.
And certainly it's an opportunity for what we do at MI Tech News. I mean, I pick up Matt's content. I pick up content from 80 other content partners, post it to my website, and a lot of that then I share with People Movers, and now it's going to the Indian market. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, I'm signing up right now using my Twitter handle. So
excellent.
I was wondering what you're doing over there. I was watching you.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
You know, it's cool right now at this stage. I'm actually going to be going back to India next week for several months, and I'll be meeting with a number of key leaders. And you know, when I go and I give them demonstrations on the site, I will specifically be saying, you need to talk to Mike and Matt. These are connectors here into the Detroit community.
Oh, well, thank you.
And so those are the kind of things that can happen. It's not as big a pond mm-hmm. as the mega sites, but, you know, as these relationships take root.
I'm thinking ESD in Pune. What do you think?
Yeah, the Engineering Society of Pune. How about that?
Well, it can work. It
okay,
can work.
You never know. Right. So, what? Tell me a little bit about your background. What had you done before this? And I'm always curious. You know, I've never had the intestinal fortitude to do it myself, to sort of step off that dock into the lake and become an entrepreneur. So tell me about how you did it.
Oh, geez. Well, I could talk about stories of when my dad first taught me never work by the hour. You know, work by the job and all of that. But it's. Geez. Let's start with the recycling, I guess. You know, I used to be in the printing industry, and then I went into the, you know, 26 years ago, I started being asked to print on recycled paper. So that led me into the recycling industry for the last 26 years, and that's still happening. But along the way, I was asked to be on boards and to be active in, you know, organizations that were working in the community. And one thing I saw is that you have these really wonderful people in Detroit, around Detroit, all trying to work together to, you know, build a stronger community, and yet the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were resources that one organization had that, you know, were needed by another, and they just couldn't connect. And so that's where People Movers was born. Really, the concept started about 8 years ago. We launched the first round of the site about 5 years ago. Mayor Bing at the Mackinac Policy Conference. We had a lot of support. Got up to about 1,000 organizations. And then, Mike, as you brought out, just hit that wall where we realized that the interfaces needed to be done, redone, totally from scratch. And we realized that that needed to happen. So we kind of shut things down, and now we've turned it back on, and now we want people to come on and start sharing what their organizations are doing and start connecting with each other.
It's kind of like what we did. I did my website over, and then I launched it in March, and Google came out with all the new rules, and we weren't compliant with any of them. So I had to scrap a website and start over from scratch, and we relaunched on September 21st. But what I was going to say is your website has that same kind of look and feel as my new website. So,
well, they're made for each other.
Yeah, perfect.
I mean, the idea is that we feed content over to you as leaders get first exposure to some of the articles, and then right. They click on through to the different organizations. That's what we're just trying to do is be a bridge to get that initial connection going.
Well, and that is one of the realities of this age with the media being so atomized. It is hard for the left hand to find the right hand a lot of the times. And Detroit has always been the kind of town where why should we have one organization to do something when five will do? There's always been that kind of...
It's also a big silo town. Everybody does their own thing.
Yep,
exactly.
Sharing has not been a mantra of Detroit for a long time.
Well, no, because people treated the bumper design for a Chrysler 5 years from now like the nuclear secrets, keeping them from the Rosenbergs. There's a long, just the dominant industry in this town operates on a model
where there's
a lot of secretive. And you and I, this drove us both crazy when we were trying to do tech news in Detroit. Is that people in Silicon Valley would over talk and under deliver. But not so in Detroit. Like, they wouldn't tell you what they were working on, a lot of really interesting stories don't get told when that's the case.
And we still know that GM has that carburetor on the shelf that delivers 200 miles per gallon
and runs on water.
Runs on water, but they never brought it out. Yeah, so I always love that story.
Yep.
So once again, let's talk about how people. So you got organizations out there that want to get tuned into what you're doing. Tell them how to do that.
Well, basically, you go to peoplemovers.com, you create a profile, and then you create your own bulletin boards for your organization. So it's pretty simple to do. You can get going, and but there's numerous applications. I was listening to the Engineering Society of Detroit, and they're setting partnerships up with schools. That's a great application where all the different parties can share information back and forth between the bulletin boards to their respective audiences.
Yeah, I see a real future for us in there. I really do. Because, with these student chapters, it's sort of like, what do you want us to do for you? That's totally up to you. We can help you with connections with companies. We can help you with resume writing. We can help you with job interview skills. I mean, you got to ask. You got to let us know what you need.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
And this is really meant to be once you hear about the information, now the leader and their organization can actually get to work with it, spreading it out to their Facebook, their Twitter, their LinkedIn. So it does allow you to share that information very easily to the bigger audiences as well.
Okay. Well, we're coming up against the end of the show here, so I want to thank you, Keith Zendler, CEO and founder of People Movers. Mike, thank our other guests, will you please?
Well, we had John Bebo, the director of the Center for Entrepreneur, actually, the Center for Michigan.
Center for Michigan, yes.
I'm getting my entrepreneurship confused here. And also the editor-in-chief of Bridge Magazine. We had Lauren Bigelow from Accelerate Michigan. And, of course, we had your boss on.
Yes, we did. Robert McGee, Executive Director of the Engineering Society of Detroit, who is now on his way to East Lansing. We're launching the ESD student chapter in East Lansing tonight. So
I'm getting the kill sign from our able-bodied assistant here, Jessica.
And we can't forget to thank Jessica again. Jessica's awesome.
Where would we be without Jessica? Yes. All right. Well, this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast.
We'll
Thanks,
see you
Keith.
Next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.